I knew when we were discussing this, hey, these are bold decisions, and you understand and you recognize, you know, the magnitude of these decisions, but I think you also understand that, hey, this is the most important position in all of sports, and it's quarterback. And you got to be bold, and you got to do these things if you want to be great. And I don't want to sit around and look back with regrets, you know, that we didn't do this. So, hey, I get it, and I think, you know, with any draft, as you guys know, you have to look back 3 years later, and you see the draft grades coming in now and whatnot, and you got to wait, man. Time's got to play it out, and I'm confident in, you know, what we did and the work we put in and our coaches and our scouts and. You know, and truth will be told, you know, a couple of years from now. So that's kind of where it's at.
Cheers, Bears fans. This is Bears Barroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and that was, of course, Chicago Bears general manager Ryan Pace, and he was on the Bernstein and Goff Show. We thank WSCR Radio for the clip, and much love to the Chainsmokers for their music, the top pop song in the country, Closer. Closing is something a lot of the national media is saying Pace did not do in this draft. As you all know by now, the transaction to select quarterback Mitchell Trubisky in the first round was immediately panned by many. And then there was little-known tight end Adam Shaheen in the second round, who drew a collective,
"Who the fuck is that guy?"
from so many of the so-called experts. And in the fourth round, Pace tried to fix his broken safety problem by drafting Eddie Jackson, who suffered a gruesome leg injury last season. Pace has high hopes for a complete recovery by the start of training camp, and he has high hopes for Tariq Cohen, the 5'6" running back he selected later in that same fourth round. Pace put a bow on his unorthodox draft by picking Jordan Morgan from little-known Kutztown University. We have a lot to debate, analyze, and make fart and dick jokes about, and we're fortunate to have the entire crew, starting with Phil Latoshin and Lauren Cox of BearsHourLive.com, and Shane Marsaw and Jose Cotto of BearsBarroom.com. Thanks all for being here. We have tons to talk about, but I want to start with Shane, who has been monitoring the national media's response to the Mitchell Trubisky trade and the entire Ryan Pace draft, and get his thoughts on how the national media has reacted to these transactions by Ryan Pace. Shane?
Oh, it's been completely positive. They think that this is the absolute right move to make. Don't you agree, Aldo?
Exactly. They love Ryan Pace. Boy, no complaints whatsoever.
Absolutely. It was a no-brainer. We're not used to this as Chicago fans. No, it's been pretty rough to be a Bears fan if you're looking to the national media or to these quote-unquote draft experts for their review of the draft. I think the highest grade that I've seen for the Bears is a C+ by Bucky Brooks, and not that I'm really into the draft grades or anything, but part of me thinks that maybe the national media is just pissed off because they don't have Jay Cutler to be the whipping boy anymore, and he's not there, so it just, fuck it, Mitch's next guy up, so we'll just try to, you know, put the bullseye on this kid's forehead, and we'll start unloading on him and the Chicago Bears, because they haven't been winning lately, and they're the low-hanging fruit at this point. So I think it makes it kind of easy. But the response, you know, they showed it. We saw it unfold that night, guys. As soon as he said Mitchell Trubisky, we saw the Chicago Bears draft party. Like I said, I told Phil and Lauren when I called into Bears Hour Live, I think Glennon's neck shortened about 6 inches as soon as he heard that. So it hasn't been positive, but I know we're going to get into this later, but I'm nowhere near as negative as Pace making the move for his quarterback as the national pundits seem to be.
Jose, you and I did a podcast about a half hour, an hour after the selection, and you weren't happy with the pick of Trubisky and the move. How do you feel now that you've sobered up?
I'm still not crazy about who they selected. Now that I've had some time to digest it and take a look at the trade compensation, it actually looks fair. But, you know, on the surface, when you're sitting there and you're only moving up one pick and you're giving up a third-round selection this year, a fourth-round selection this year, and another four next year, it seemed like a lot. And then especially to take a player that I wasn't huge on. I mean, I had him ranked in the 40s. It felt like a huge reach to me. Obviously, Ryan Pace disagrees with my evaluation and obviously has a lot more information on the player than I do. But it for me, that first day was rough. Those first like 6 or 7 hours of having to digest that. The highlight of the first round for me was when Tack McKinley went ballistic and sacked Garrett Bowles' baby on stage. I don't know about you guys.
That was pretty awesome. Phil Atoshin, we know from listening to Bears Hour Live that you've somewhat applauded the move. You said that Ryan Pace knew who his man was and went aggressively after that, and you applauded him. Yet Trubisky was the fourth quarterback on your board. So what are your expectations for Trubisky as a rookie? Do you think he needs to sit and develop, or do you think that he can earn some playing time right away, divide some snaps with Mike Glennon in practice and get out in the field maybe sometime in the season?
Yeah, I applaud. I mean, we talked about it on our mock, live mock with you, Jose, and Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Two quarterbacks out, I'm taking a quarter. It was a quarterback for me or nothing. I wasn't shocked by the positional pick. I was shocked, like Jose and all of us, I believe, and anyone saying they knew anything other than Lynch and Pace and the crew inside Chicago is lying. National pundits that are all over it, not fraudulent wannabes. We're talking about Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, and really they were shocked that the Bears, that's how planned this was. That's why I think we need to underline this statement that Ryan Pace went up and got his guy. We all said, and I believe except Aldo, have conviction, get your guy. I don't care which quarterback it is. If that's who they assessed to be the best for the Bears, then I'm going to support that 100%. That's how I felt that night. I was smiling. I was shocked at first. I was, you know, I wanted my boy Watson. But really, I saw that there was a changing of the guard, a new face of the franchise. And to answer your question, with my biggest disappointment that night was the presser when Pace kept kowtowing to Mike Glennon. Who is Mike Glennon? Like, what has he done in this league? That kind of narrative is going on. Like, oh, I thought they liked Mike Glennon. I wasn't expecting it. They paid Mike Glennon. We've taken all those bricks down for everyone to see on this show and Bears Hour Live, the brother shows. We've opened up that this is essentially a one-year bridge deal for Mike Glennon to see what you get. But really, I don't think I heard anywhere around saying they need a quarterback. And this is patting all of you on the back, Jose, Shane Marsaw, and Lauren Cox. Because we were like a chorus with this. The disappointment, though, Aldo, I believe open competition, that breeds success. Who's Mike Glennon? I don't know. If this guy struggles, the rookie comes in there. I hate the statement, and I tweeted out something tonight, Aldo. It's going to take him 2 years to get ready because, you know, the NFL. How do you know? They said that about Dak Prescott. They've said it about Russell Wilson. I'm so tired of these nerd mathematicians coming on talking football. Seriously, so tired of you analyzing the metrics of a draft pick in 2017 to 18 and me. Shut up. Seriously, shut the math and football go together like orange juice and milk. It's just, doesn't happen.
Here we go.
It just doesn't happen. So,
save you can't mix Mexican and American.
Exactly. What are you doing?
Speak my football language or get out.
So tired of that. Trying to disprove the Bears. There's a narrative. I just think Pace should open up the competition. Let them play. Let them get a quarter here and a quarter. And Glennon gets the first quarter and he gets the second quarter.
Oh, shit.
Best man wins. That's all I want.
Steve Spurrier is on the pod tonight.
No, I'm talking about preseason now. I'm not talking about regular. I'm talking.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying. No, I would never do that. Once you make your decision on your quarterback by the third preseason game, then that's your guy. You roll with that until otherwise. But I'm saying in the preseason, what's the harm? This kid is twice the athlete, maybe 10 times the athlete Mike Glennon is. And really, ultimately, we don't know what Glennon is. I'm not going to sell him aside, but I really want to see competition in Chicago. Have I said what Ryan Pace has said all year, Aldo? The most important position in all of sports? Me and Ryan Pace in 2017 are seeing eye to eye, and I like it.
I had this idea for the first time just now that about how Mitch Trubisky's going to fit in. And at first I thought, well, he's not going to see the field forever. It took Dowell Loggins 5 games to figure out Jordan Howard was good, and they couldn't see that during OTAs. But then I thought to myself, well, wait. They wait a lot on these late round picks, but they kind of forced these first round guys out there. They kind of forced Kevin White into the lineup even before he seemed like he had a full understanding of the route tree once he was healthy. And even Leonard Floyd, I think they kind of pushed him and made sure he was the starter week one, even though, you know, he had a little bit of trouble here and there, still had some sacks against Houston and had some nice flashes. But they do seem to try and force these first round picks out there to get them on the field. And I wonder if that's going to be the case for Trubisky, or if they're going to give him that they're really going to actually be patient with him and let Mike Glennon have 2017 to himself.
Well, Ryan Pace addressed that recently on WSCR Radio, and this is what he told the radio tandem of Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff regarding developing Mitchell Trubisky.
That development is the critical piece to all of this, and it's been well thought out and discussed, and, you know, you research other situations around the league, and going all the way back to Green Bay when Favre was there and Aaron Rodgers came in, and how do you get those reps? You know, how do you get that time in the meeting room? How do you develop that guy mentally when he's not the starter? That's going to be critical to what we do. And, you know, you talk about Dow and you talk about Dave Ragone, and, you know, right away, I know they're younger coaches, but they both have played the quarterback position, which is important. I think out of all the position coaches that we're talking about, it's important that you've played that position when you're coaching it, just because you see things differently. And I think, you know, credit to them is honestly, you know, going through 3 quarterbacks last year and getting those guys ready to play. You know, I think that, you know, that showed a lot. So I'm confident in those guys. I know Coach Fox is confident in those guys. And we'll have a plan in place because it's going to be critical for really that entire quarterback room.
Jose, do you see a problem with having to develop a young quarterback and also develop Mike Glennon, who, as Ryan Pace has said, he's the starting quarterback of this team. But now they're going to have to split snaps in practice with the number one quarterback and this franchise quarterback that they want to develop. Do you see a problem?
With Glennon, I mean, you really shouldn't have to develop him at this point. That's not the word I would use. If a veteran quarterback who's been in the league as long as he has can't immediately get on the football field with a full offseason, then there's a real problem, and you spent $16 million or whatever it was on the wrong guy.
But he's executing a new playbook.
Right, but he has a full offseason, and he's an NFL veteran. He should be able to adjust. I mean, we saw Jay Cutler do that how many times? Different new offenses. Mm-hmm. And go out there and be ready to execute 80% of the playbook week one. I don't think that should be a problem. As far as Mitch Trubisky, he's a player that I thought should go back to school, and I was a little bit puzzled as to why he came. Well, not anymore. But in the beginning, I was a little bit puzzled as to why he came out as early as he did. I mean, I thought going back for another year and giving the scouts more tape would have probably locked him into a very high draft pick. And, of course, we have the benefit of hindsight now, and he went second overall. So, you know, kudos to him not going back and risking injury. And he didn't lose anything. I mean, really, the amount of money that he's losing from perhaps being the number one overall pick to being the second overall pick is minimal. So I think he is going to need some time to develop. But as far as Chicago drafting a quarterback, I was all for it. But as I do think that there is a slight problem. And I referenced this when we did the big board. When we talked about our top 10, we ended up getting into Patrick Mahomes. And I don't know that this staff is going to be in place next year. Is that a guarantee? And if you're bringing in a rookie quarterback and he's learning your offense, and then year two he's learning a new offense as he's just getting acclimated to the NFL game, if he's even played at that point, can be detrimental to that quarterback. And that's another thing that we saw with Jay Cutler, is changing the offenses every few years really was a hindrance to his development, and he really never hit his full potential because of all that change. Another example of that is Blake Bortles in Jacksonville. He's had a number of different offensive coordinators now, and he's a player that has all of the physical tools that you want at the position, but hasn't quite panned out as a high draft pick because of all the change. So that part of it scares me, and I think that may be a problem. I don't know that we want this coaching staff to be here the next 5 years as a group, as speaking for us collectively, but it would be beneficial to Mitch Trubisky. If that's not the case, that is a big problem, and that is going to be a hindrance to his development.
Shane, how do you see this? You know, that you just heard Phil say that there should be a battle for the number one quarterback starting day one. These quarterbacks should go at it. And how do you feel about this coaching staff developing this young quarterback?
Well, in terms of the coaching staff, I think Jose hit that there. I don't think any of us here have the complete confidence that they're going to be able to do everything, you know, in their power to make this the best situation for Mitchell Trubisky. But at the same point, in terms of when you look at Ryan Pace, I don't think that can stop you when you see your quarterback and say, you know, if you have the conviction, that seems to be the word of the day with these quarterbacks. If you have your conviction on this guy, I think you have to get him no matter what. So I do. You can really play both sides of the fence, you know, as that goes. But, and you know, Jose mentioned he thought maybe Trubisky should have went back, you know, for his senior year. I think there's, you know, Brad Biggs had that article and saying that there was a lot of politics involved to why Trubisky didn't start. And I said, you kind of look at it from the kids' point of view, and I said, you're there and your teammates are saying that you should play, and fellow coaches, but the head coach, you know, has his guy in Marquise Williams that he wants him to play, and you're just sitting there and, you know, you want to possibly see what you can do yourself out there, and it really, it's kind of taking money out of his pocket, because nobody knew that he was going to be the number two pick in the draft. And I think maybe Fedora thought, well, if I sit him down here, I can get him for 2 years. Well, he only got him for 1 year, and it seems like Trubisky did make the right move coming out going number two overall. But to get back to the coaching staff, yeah, that is – it's a huge concern of mine, because we all see – you see a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, you see a guy like Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, and what do they all have in common? They all have in common consistency. And that's the absolute best thing for a quarterback. And Jose hit it perfectly. Can we sit here and say for sure that Mitch Trubisky is going to be here in 5 years? Yeah, I think we can all pretty much say that. The Bears have invested in him. But is Dowell Loggins going to be here in 5 years? I mean, I'm not sure if Dowell Loggins is going to be here in 1 year. Same goes for John Fox. So it, you know, in terms of that, it is a huge concern to me moving forward, but it still would not have prevented me from making the move for the quarterback if I deemed him, you know, the guy.
Let me get Lauren back in here, because I'm afraid that his curfew is going to take him away from us. Lauren.
I'm 21 years old now,
though. Congratulations again.
Hey, I drank a beer last week, goddammit.
Lauren, one of the things Ryan Pace told WSCR Radio is that when they evaluated the top quarterbacks in this draft, they thought that Mitchell Trubisky was best suited for Dowell Loggins' offense. So isn't that an endorsement of Loggins, that he's going to be here for a while? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I actually had that same thought about how he's multiple times has said, you know, we thought he would be the best fit in Loggins' offense, and that does scare me a little bit. It really does. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, my other thought is, well, what else is he gonna say? You know, we drafted him because we think he'll be great for our next offensive coordinator. I mean, you know, that's if you're the Chicago Bears general manager, whether or not you're going to fire, whether or not you know you want to fire your coaching staff or not, you are going to say, oh, yeah, we thought he'd be a great fit in our offense. I mean, that's just something you say to fill up words and to answer the question in a way that the media will eat up. But I question, I guess, how much truth there is behind it, just because in the past, Ryan Pace has said a lot of things and then done a lot of very different things than what he said he would do. And so things change pretty quickly. You know, he drafts Trubisky and says he's a great fit in his offense, but 7 months from now or 12 months from now, whenever they're making decisions, you know, that's going to go out the window. He's not going to really care. And just because he thinks Trubisky is a great fit in Dowell Loggins' offense doesn't mean he doesn't think he's a great fit in a plethora of other offenses or perhaps Jim Harbaugh's future offense. But, you know, we can hopefully dream and not put too much stock into his public endorsement of anyone just because 12 months ago he publicly endorsed Jay Cutler as being the quarterback they're going to build around. And now, and then he endorsed Mitch Trubisky or Mike Glennon as sort of their solution at the quarterback position. And now we have Mitch Trubisky. So at this point, I'm not getting too hung up on any individual words of Ryan Pace.
Phil, tell our audience what you think is wrong with Dowell Loggins' offense. What makes him so hated here at the bar room? I mean, this is an offense that had to play, what, 3-4 quarterbacks in 2016 and had their star wide receiver miss multiple games because of a PED. There was injuries up and down. I mean, 16 players on injured reserve. I don't remember how many were from the offensive side. But it forced guys like Josh Bellamy with his fragile hands to play a lot of football. What is it that you look at with Dowell Loggins' offense and you spit at?
There's a certain type of feel I believe an offensive coordinator needs to possess in order to possess the football longer. And when you are unable to understand how to best utilize personnel, that becomes a question mark in my eyes. And this has happened a lot in Chicago. Let's not just think about Dowell Loggins. You go all the way back with Tice, Martz. You know, just when Martz was trying to hit his stride, Cutler gets the thumb. We could go all the way back to Shea and Stoops. It's just the coordinator position seemed to be hitting its stride with Adam Gase. You felt like his first year being a coordinator, they were moving the football and they were scoring in the red zone, and he was going to build upon that. Play selection with Dowell seems to be he forgets to run the football and use his best asset, and that was running back Jordan Howard. You referenced all the quarterbacks having to come in because of injury. Well, now what would you do as an offensive coordinator? You design a power scheme to get the ball in the hands of the best asset and best back, arguably, in the NFL at the time. So that kind of stuff, along with the red zone inability to score touchdowns. Now, I hear one side of the argument saying, well, he didn't have the quarter. He didn't have this. He didn't have that. But then we think in critical game situations, I'm sitting there coaching this team from my couch. And obviously, that's not where I'd love to be, is out there, because I'd be recognizing, okay, for example, it's 2nd and 8. They got 6. It's now 3rd and 2. Let's not get cute here. Let's say we're going to run twice here to get the first down, whether it be a read option play, a jet sweep, a power run. You're going to use 2 plays to get a first down. He doesn't do that. It just continuously drives stalled at the 42-yard line going in, and then you're punting, wasting, or trying to kick a long field goal. This happens too much, so you want to see him improve on the use of personnel, the protection of the quarterback, the wholehearted stop of throwing the ball 52, 48, 47, 49, 41. These are the amount of passing that this team did last year, and really utilize your personnel better. That's what he needs to do. He's got to self-scout and recognize his habits. Where does he run so much? When should he substitute personnel? How about getting the slot receivers involved? How about benching a guy that's critically dropped several, not one, not two, not three, not four. We're talking 8 drops in critical situations, and he's still being thrown out there. That kind of stuff doesn't sit well with me as a coach or a coach and a coach's son. And you guys just talking to these guys just doesn't sit well. And that's where this guy's got to improve upon.
Bad memories. I can't stop crying when I picture those drops. Lauren, sorry, fellas. Lauren, most people at the University of Wisconsin of the male persuasion are jerking off to porn, but you're looking at tape of Mitchell Trubisky over the last few days.
Just kidding.
Tell me what you've seen that gives you encouragement that this guy can be a true number one quarterback in the NFL.
Great ass. Yeah, well, go ahead.
Plug it up. Plug it up.
It's that handsome chiseled chin, and you know, if you head over to the Bears Hour Live YouTube channel, you can check out our film room that we just put out today on Mitch Trubisky. We go through four plays and then a series of plays. Usually we do a full 5, but we expanded a little bit for Mitch, and we went through sort of the good and the bad of him. But I see a guy, the short version here. I see a guy that's accurate, that understands what he's doing with the football, takes care of it, reads coverages very well, has a very good understanding of what the defense is doing. He doesn't have to think. It's very instinctive for him, especially as the year went on. He got more comfortable with trusting his eyes and trusting what he sees and firing downfield. He has some touch on the deep ball, though I think sometimes his feet can get a little bit underneath him and he can come up off of it if he doesn't step into the throw, especially if, you know, one thing or another throws off his timing just a little bit. And I think same thing with his pocket presence, where sometimes he's solid in the pocket and can, you know, feel the pressure, run around and even reset and move and make guys miss in the backfield because he's faster than people think. But there are other times, too, where he just gets a little bit in his own head and thinks there's going to be pressure somewhere where there's not, or steps into it without realizing it and can kind of be his own enemy in the pocket at times. It's just kind of the little things that you see a lot of young quarterbacks have to improve on. Of course, he has never taken a snap under center, or at least he didn't at all last year. So he's going to have to work on that exchange. And, you know, I think there's a lot to be encouraged about from a passing standpoint, from his mobility standpoint. And I think a time on the bench is going to really just put him over the top. I think he could play as a rookie. I think you could potentially rely on this guy to start week one if you needed him to. But I don't think there's any reason to rush him in that sense. And I think the more time he's able to spend, the better. I just think that's something where every quarterback can use that. And not that he needs it, but that it's just there's no reason to force it with Mike Glennon on the roster.
Well, and the big question to all this is how quickly is this going to get the Bears into Super Bowl? And Ryan Pace was asked that question. This was his response.
You know, I think that's a good question. And I think it starts with our quarterback play. You know, and I believe that Mike Glennon is a good starting quarterback in this league, and I think.
But he won't be the quarterback when the Bears are winning the Super Bowl if things work, right?
You know, but it's all going to have to play out. You know, and there's no, I don't want to put a timetable on it or expectations on it. You know, it's just a incremental improvement. But right now, coming out of this draft and feeling like we got a lot of good players, but most importantly, address the quarterback position, and we'll go from there. You know, it's a day by day process. And I'm just excited and thrilled that I can turn around and look at the depth chart and look at the quarterback position and say, okay, finally, we're in a good position there to kind of march forward.
Jose, again, let me first say that, again, that clip comes from WSCR, the Bernstein and Goff show. Jose, what do you make of what Ryan Pace said there? Do you agree that, you know, it is what it is? We're going to just wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was great where he – who is that that was interviewing him?
That was Dan Bernstein.
Bernstein? Oh, yeah, he's a douchebag, but that was great that he cut in there and said, but he's not going to be the quarterback when you win the Super Bowl if it works. And that's the truth. I mean, obviously Ryan Pace is going to give the PC answers and he's going to tell you what, he's not going to give you much. I mean, obviously he's not going to answer that with, yeah, Mitch would be the quarterback and essentially admit that Mike Glennon is a bridge quarterback, but that's exactly what it is. I mean, whether he says it or not, Mike Glennon is a bridge, and if Ryan Pace's wishes come true here, Mitch Trubisky is the quarterback that's taking the Bears to the Super Bowl and making him look like a genius when the entire national media destroyed his move from 3-2, you know, saying that he overpaid and a lot of people disagree with the evaluation of Mitch Trubisky. It's split. You know, these quarterbacks, it seemed like many people had them ranked differently. You know, a lot of us, we were Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kizer guys, and even preferred Pat Mahomes over Trubisky, but there were some in the national media that preferred Trubisky. So those people seem to be the ones that are not knocking the move as much as, you know, the rest of the media. But, I mean, obviously, like I said, ideally it's Mitch Trubisky taking this team to the Super Bowl, and Ryan Pace comes out of this smelling like roses.
Shane, in your redraft, with we asked everyone to do a redraft, and in fact, you listeners out there, if you want to send us your redraft of the Chicago Bears draft, send it to me, and I'll post it on our website. We've got about a half dozen of our followers already up there. And we asked our entire crew to do a redraft, and in Shane's redraft, he selected Malik Hooker with his first pick, then Deshaun Kizer and Terrell Basham. The rules of the game were you select who's available at that spot, no trades available. So let me ask you, Shane, do you like your draft better than Ryan Pace's?
My entire draft? Oh, yeah.
Sure, I do. Of course.
Yeah, hello, I'm the smartest man in the room. The fuck are you talking about?
Shane for GM, please.
Yes, geez, finally you guys are coming around.
So I guess that's my issue here is that, you know, I support, you know, Brian Pace running out and aggressively getting his guy, I do feel that it was a forced move out of desperation.
Are you you're talking about for Trubisky?
Correct.
I don't think it was. I don't agree with that part, Aldo. I just think he, you know, I think at the end of the day, he's been, I mean, we've been calling for him to move up for Mariota, you know, for Wentz last year. And I don't think he's willing just to put the franchise at stake and not really be completely sold on this kid. I don't believe that. I think that he honestly has conviction on this kid. And he's, you know, to me, he didn't want to take any shot at anybody. I mean, he essentially proved that. I think if you want to make a case that maybe he forced some, you know, took some chances in the second and fourth rounds, if you can take a chance in the fourth round, I mean, I think I'd buy that argument there. But I think, you know, how many shows have we done since the season is over? And, you know, we sit back and everybody says, you know, you got to build your defense. You got to be able to run the football. But that's great, and I asked the question on one of the last shows that we did. Running the football and playing good defense gives you maybe a 1 or 2 year window in the NFL at success. I mean, an NFL running back, you know, Jordan Howard's 20, I don't know if he's still 21 or 22 years old. It's great to have those guys, but there's not a lot of big-time running backs that are running their teams to Super Bowls. Everybody knows this is a quarterback league. And if, you know, yes, he gave up valuable assets to get up there, and he's getting less swings overall in the draft. But if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to be in the game at all. And like I said, I had Deshaun, my quarterback grouping went Deshaun Kizer, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Mitchell Trubisky. And just because I don't have Mitchell Trubisky number one, doesn't mean that this is the wrong move. I'm, you know, I have my questions absolutely about Mitchell Trubisky. But at the same time, obviously, all of the NFL had questions about Deshaun Kizer. For him to drop to, what was it, pick 52, I think he ended up going. You know, Deshaun Watson, Jose and Phil, and I, well, Phil had him number one. I think Jose and I had him number two.
I had him number one.
Oh, you had him number one? Well, you're a dumbass too then, but sorry. but
your guy went 52, bro.
But, wait, was I talking about Jonathan Bullard or quarterbacks? But I think we get caught in that trap that thinks, well, Ryan Pace didn't take my – I mean, we saw it unfold here on the bar room last year. And I'm not trying to bash on my boy Phil, but I mean, how many shows did we go through with Leonard Floyd And just because the GM doesn't take your guy doesn't mean that the GM is wrong. And I guess I'm kind of looking at it that way. I, more than anything, wanted Ryan Pace to find conviction on a quarterback, and he certainly showed that. I mean, I almost had a heart attack when I saw the Bears move up and they were saying it was for Solomon Thomas. Now, if you want to see me pissed off, if they would have gave up those assets for Solomon Thomas and picked him at number two, I would have lost my shit. Because that was when they were saying that. I'm like, how the fuck do you give up all these picks for Solomon Thomas? Not that I don't like the guy, but, you know, then I started breathing and I said, this has got to be for a quarterback. It's got to be for a quarterback. But, Mitch Trubisky himself, I do. I have questions on, but I'm going to sit back and applaud Ryan Pace for showing, you know, the balls, like Phil said, showing balls and going to get your guy. I don't think it was a forced move myself. To me, I don't see that at all. I think he saw his guy and didn't want to lose his guy for the third year in a row. So he went and got him.
Anybody else have a thought on Trubisky before we start talking about some of the other draft picks?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I got to say that we've already looked at this, and you look at the NFL trade chart, and it looks like fair compensation. But with some of the information that's come out, I can't pretend that Ryan Pace doesn't deserve any criticism whatsoever, because if you read Peter King's piece, he was in the draft room, and the 49ers really were set on drafting either Myles Garrett, Reuben Foster, or Solomon Thomas, and were under the impression that the Bears moved up to select Solomon Thomas because they knew that San Francisco was enamored with the player, and were pretty surprised, I'm sure, when Chicago selected the quarterback and they still were able to grab their player at three in Solomon Thomas. I think they would have been content with taking Reuben Foster at three if Solomon Thomas was drafted by the Bears at two. But another thing that was said in that article, John Lynch did not believe that Reuben Foster would make it past nine. So I don't know that San Francisco would have dropped down to 12 if Cleveland was that mystery team and missed out on all three of the players that they had at the top of their board. I know that they're saying that there was another offer out there, but I'm not buying that, and this is just my opinion, that John Lynch would have moved all the way down to 12 unless Cleveland completely blew the doors off of him and completely overpaid for that selection. I think that Mitch Trubisky would have been there at three.
I agree.
That's what I think.
I agree with Jose.
There's that story, too, that I put in the trailer from Adam Schefter that's verified through other sources now, that the Bears are actually playing the Browns, that they were interested in trading down. Thus, they leaked that prior to the draft, kept them on one line. Meanwhile, they're manipulating to get up 2-2, discouraging the Browns from trading their assets to the 49ers. Browns, being greedy, are saying, well, we'll get a better deal at three than we'll get it with the Niners. So in that respect, I respect the game of poker that Pace played to secure his guy. He said it best, and I would feel that same way. If that was a fear that I was going to lose Deshaun Watson or Solomon Thomas was probably my favorite player in this draft, and I wanted that guy, then I was going to go get him and then worry about attaining my picks just like he did at the top of the second round. Get your guy, worry about all the rhetoric later, and I felt like they did that. Whether they gave up whatever, I just don't agree with that philosophy of the mathematicians coming out. Well, it was a thousandth of a point extra that they get. Like, at the end of the day, if this guy hits, what are we saying? It was a great move. So that's what I wanted in my GM. I said it all offseason. Have some balls. Don't get cute. Get your guy. And that's what they did. So I applaud it. And I would have been happy with any of those quarterbacks, to be perfectly honest. If they assessed it, that's where I am. Go ahead, Shane. I'm sorry.
No, I think, you know, even if you say odds are, yeah, maybe odds are he was there at three, but just look back to last year. You look at a team like Philadelphia, and yes, it didn't the trade didn't take place, you know, while people were on the clock. Philadelphia actually moved up two times. They originally traded up with Miami and gave up some players and some draft compensation, and then they ended up trading up again with Cleveland. And today, the Titans general manager, John Robinson, on Sirius, he said that they were fielding calls from teams that wanted to trade up. But as soon as the Bears moved on Trubisky, everyone stopped calling. So just think about that. They're at number five. You have two teams, Houston and Kansas City, that made the moves from 25 and 27. They moved up to number 10 and number 12. You're telling me that they're willing yep. to move that far, and they're not going to go up a little bit more to get their quarterback? And who was talking to John Robinson at number five? And then that's coming right from the GM himself. As soon as the Bears took Trubisky, the phone call stopped. So who's – and you're telling me if you're going to go to five, you can't go to two? And I mean, any of these stories, nobody had – I mean, guys, we saw it. When San Francisco was on the clock and we saw that switch to Chicago, even guys that we respect like Schefter and Ian Rappaport didn't know what the fuck was going on. Schefter himself said –
You're going to get Solomon Thomas.
The guy they've been targeting the whole time. Ian Rappaport said the same thing. So, and I'm not trying to blow sunshine and rainbows towards Ryan Pace for this, but this entire process is a huge game of poker, like Phil said. And you're telling me if a team is willing to move up from 25 to number 10, they're not willing to move up from 10 to 2 or from 12 to 5?
Shane, one other point. I want to say this because you made me remember something. Do you remember Aaron Donald?
Damn you, Shane.
Yeah.
Do you remember Leonard Williams?
Yep.
We missed out on both of them by what pick? One pick in front of us. You think that Ryan Pace said, this shit ain't happening this time. I'm going to get my guy.
Yeah, but you could say the same thing about any guy. 3 years from now, I can say the same thing about Jamal Adams, Solomon Thomas, whoever.
Those were their guys.
Right. Here's my issue with this in that, I think this was what Jose was saying, is that it felt like a forced move, a move out of desperation, as opposed to letting the draft come to you and using the assets that you have. You make this move, and then you miss out on a third-round draft pick. Here are some of the names in the third round that we've been talking about for the last 2 months, guys that we would have loved to have seen on the Bears. Larry Ogunjobi. We got Dwayne Smoot, Cooper Kupp, Dan Feeney, Antonio Garcia, Chris Godwin. On and on. I can go on. There's 20 names of these 32, or it's more than 32, 38, 40 picks in the third round that I would have loved to have seen on the Chicago Bears, but we traded away that asset when it's quite possible that Mitchell Trubisky would have been there with the third pick if Pace didn't make this desperate move. Am I wrong?
Can I give you two names real quick, Aldo, that you forgot on that list?
Sure. Terrell Basham.
Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley. Those two names right there are more important to me than Antonio Garcia or a third-round pick in general when we're talking quarterbacks versus safeties.
Yeah, but you still have Deshaun Kizer coming up in the second round. You have Brad Kaya in the sixth round, a guy that we had all thought could possibly go in the second round. So when you bring up those names, that to me doesn't wash. It doesn't wash. That's cherry-picking bad players. When I'm giving you are guys who have a much, much higher chance of success than the two names you gave me. Those guys, we knew, were mediocre quarterbacks coming out of college.
That said,
you're talking about cherry picking, Aldo, but this whole process of us talking about it right now is, I mean, Ryan Pace, when he made the move from 3 to 2, maybe if you told him to say, hey, Ryan, Kaiser's going to be sitting there at 52. you have no way of knowing that when you're on the clock.
Also,
when you see your quarterback. So I mean, it's I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, if you, it all depends. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of teams, and believe me, I was a Kaiser guy, 100%. But the kid's 20 years old, has all the talent in the world, and he dropped to 52. For what reason?
And it had to
Brian Kelly, we know why.
Prototypical sign. Prototypical size ratio of a quarterback, too. But also, Al, I want to throw this back at you since you're cherry-picking this question. The Bears have not had one single everyday starter that has been drafted in the rounds 3 or 4 in the last 10 years. So what are we doing here? That's what I want to, like, we're getting our franchise, face of the franchise. If you're getting the queen of the ball here, or you settle in for a couple of hot chicks on a one night stand.
You know thing, that, Phil, that's a bullshit reasoning there. I can say to you, you know, the Bears have not had a first round quarterback success with the first rounders they've had since Jim McMahon. So, you know,
that's like me saying
Mitchell Trubisky is going to be Cade McNown. That's bullshit. You're cherry picking there. So, what my point is that we traded away valuable draft assets in order to build a team. Now, let me ask you, Phil, are we rebuilding this football team or not?
We're rebuilding this team.
Right. You were the guy that said there's no such thing as rebuilding in the NFL. No, this fucking team is rebuilding. And so why are you going to trade draft assets away?
I didn't even answer the question.
John Fox even said that.
I got to get my point in because you're going to talk for 30 minutes in circles.
This guy along all over again. Jesus Christ. Oh, no.
Go ahead,
Phil. You're up at 3. You get your quarterback, Aldo. The third round pick, fact, in 10 years, has not been an everyday starter. That's not cherry picking. That's fact. So I'm saying, I'm recouping a fourth next year, so I got 2 fourths. I got my guy. I traded down in the second round, recouped another pick in the fourth this year. I don't see anything that you're saying in that to be the end-all, be-all. You're picking in the top 5. You're picking a quarterback. That's on Ryan Pace. Now has a bullseye on him. He made his decision. This is what GMs are getting paid big money to do. So,
I don't agree.
I got to save Phil, my third round pick because I got to get a guy in the third round that has a name.
Phil.
These guys bust all the time, too.
Phil, let me interrupt. Let me interrupt,
Phil. 10 years.
Phil, let me interrupt because a month ago you were on this show and you were saying that Mitchell Trubisky was the fourth quarterback on the board, and that the only reason people were selecting him first was because he was white and the other quarterbacks were black. Now you've totally put on these rose-colored glasses and are defending this pick. I'm asking you, why can't you defend the fact that they didn't go after one of the top 3 quarterbacks as opposed to Trubisky?
I said clearly on the show, he's my fourth best quarterback. I'm step for step with Shane, and I'm step for step, except for Jose. So now all of a sudden, quarterback took priority. We agree with that at the beginning of the show. Now we're going to flip it. No. I've always said, got to get the quarterback. If that's who he decided was his number one, I'm going to support that. I couldn't be more clear. That's it. That's my feeling on it. Would I have taken Watson? Let's talk about Phil's mock that he did, the redraft. Who did I take? Mitchell Trubisky or Deshaun Watson?
Watson.
Exactly. So I'm supporting the guy doing exactly what I said needed to happen in Chicago. The quarterback position is the most important position in football and most difficult in all of sports. You decide, Chicago Bears, have some freaking balls and make your selection. This is exactly what they did. Now I'm going to turn around and disapprove because he didn't pick my guy?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He did. No.
Stick
no.
to your guns, dude.
No, dude. This is – I wanted – these are the top four quarterbacks. They picked their guy. That's – I support that because that's what was needed. I'm not there sitting with all these guys. Who knows? Kaiser could be a little prick. And Mahomes could be an asshole. And this guy could be a jerk. And this guy has everything I want. I didn't get to sit with these guys. I didn't get them on the board. Based on their talent, that's how I had them. And the only reason why Shane Marceau and myself, I'll speak for, didn't, I don't know, maybe Jose's in this too. Speak up, Jose, if you agree.
Only if you agree. Why, only if you agree.
Only, yeah, only, no, he could go jump in. 13 starts scares you. So if he had 2 years and Mitchell Trubisky threw 30 touchdowns and four interceptions in his senior year after throwing 34 touchdowns and 7 picks his junior year, he would be the consensus number one. There wouldn't even be a choice. I would be right on there. The limited tape, and somebody said this today, and I agree with it, there was limited tape on Kyle Long. Sometimes a player just is a player, and he might have been in a political situation in North Carolina. He was there in my top 50 players. He's in my top 30 players, Trubisky was. I liked the player. That fear of those games pushed him down. And Deshaun Watson was my number one guy. It's very clear, but I will never give up the fact that I've on this show, on Bears Hour, I'll never flip-flop. I've said quarterback or nothing. That's it. That's why you're up at number 5-3.
Let me jump in here real quick. For Trubisky, if he had another season under his belt, I would have wanted to see him in more battles and see how he responded in big situations. That could have changed his ranking for me. And obviously more tape is more to evaluate. So that could have changed it. But being that he's the fourth, I'm going to criticize the pick a little bit. And I respect Ryan Pace having the balls to move up. I hope that that's not how I'm coming across. My point really was that he opened himself up for criticism, so we can't pretend that it isn't warranted. I'm sure he doesn't give a fuck what anybody thinks or what anybody's draft grade is. But saying that he doesn't deserve any criticism is wrong, too. I think he's been overly criticized. Some of it has been twisted to where it's way too negative, but I think it's in the middle. I think he does deserve some criticism because when you're assessing the draft, you're doing it after it's over and you have the benefit of hindsight. He doesn't when he's making the trade, but the nature of what the analyst is doing and what the media is doing, they're looking at it all after it's already happened. And so we know what they could have had or we have our assumptions. Sorry, there's a motorcycle going by.
Is it true that you live next to the Hells Angels?
we have our assumptions of what, you know, I have my assumption that Mitch Trubisky would have been there at 3. You know, we know who went in the 3rd round. We know that Deshaun Kaiser dropped. But, you know, we also know that Deshaun Watson would have been there at 3. Was the disparity between those two players in their eyes that big? That's what we don't know that portion. But
don't we know that, though?
Yeah, because well,
don't we knew.
I mean, how don't big do we have has something come out?
Well, doesn't it have? Didn't the way that it play out? I mean, if they didn't have a big discernible difference between Deshaun Watson and Mitchell Trubisky, then I think they just stay at 3.
Yeah, but I mean, he seems like, and I think Mike Brez said this when he called in the Bears Hour Live, it seems like if once he locks on to a guy, he's willing to move up. He's done it a couple of times.
Right, but I'm just – when you're talking about a quarterback, though, and I mean if you have two guys graded so similarly, I think it was pretty clear that – I mean to me, and I haven't heard any – and I mentioned this to Aldo earlier. To me, all these interviews that Ryan Pace has done, nobody's asked him. To me, it seems like if the Chicago Bears had the number one pick in the draft, it was going to be Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. With how they invested in this guy. I can see that. But again, we have the benefit of hindsight, so some criticism is warranted. And I understand what you're saying, Phil. There hasn't been a viable starter in those rounds in the last. But can we say we all said that this is one of the deepest drafts that we can remember? And when you're looking at some of the names that are in that third round, these are players that would have been more highly rated in previous drafts that would have been pushed way up the board compared to some of the talent that we've seen come out in, let's say, the last 5 years. So because we have the benefit of hindsight and we can go back and see which players were on the board at that point, it's not like they gave away nothing to move up. And I'm just looking at this objectively. I'm also not saying I wouldn't do it. I've very clearly said the second day of the draft that if I was the general manager, I wouldn't listen to the outside noise. I would go with what I believed was going to save my job. So I respect that he had the balls to do it, but we can't sit here and say, well, he doesn't deserve any criticism because he was ballsy.
I think there's two parts to this, if I may get a word in here. I
think, shut the fuck up, Lauren.
go back to bed. Go back to your room.
Award-winning writer, Lauren Cox.
I think you can criticize the trade, and you can criticize the selection of Trubisky as quarterback. And I think those are two very separate things that you can be upset with. And they do go together, but I think there's reason to be upset for the compensation if you feel that way. I don't necessarily agree. I feel even if the risk is minimal, it's worth it. I don't put the same value in those third round picks. And then you can be critical of the choice of Trubisky over the other quarterbacks. But I think realistically, you got to let him play a game and see. I know last year we were critical of Leonard Floyd, and it's not a, it was never a, at least for me, it was never a, oh, this guy's a bust already. But it was a, I disagree with the pick, and let's see how it plays out. I don't think he's going to do well, but let's see how it plays out. And I think that should be the same mentality for Trubisky. You can be critical of the decision, say, I would have taken Deshaun Watson. I would have taken Deshaun Kaiser. I would have taken Patrick Mahomes. But let's see how it plays out. And I think that's where criticism is fair for this pick of, yeah, I would have done something differently, but let's see how it goes.
You know, one thing I think we got to look at too is we all know that this was a deep draft. I mean, we don't have the resources to go into all these background checks and do everything that Ryan Pace does. But Ryan Pace knows that this was a deep draft. So in turn, that tells me that he had Mitchell Trubisky way ahead of these other quarterbacks. Because he said, this deep draft, my third rounder, my fourth rounder this year, my third rounder next year, it's worth me investing to get my guy. So that to me tells me that he had Mitchell Trubisky on a complete other level than Deshaun Watson or Deshaun Kaiser or Patrick Mahomes. I don't even think it's in Ryan Pace's eyes. How can it be close? If there was even just a slight bit of difference and you have this many quarterbacks, I mean, if he had Mitchell Trubisky ranked in 8.5 and Deshaun Watson in 8.4, then you're just going to sit at 3. You're guaranteed one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a deep draft, you're giving up a 3 and 4 this year. Am I wrong? Doesn't that say to you guys that he had probably Myles Garrett as a position player ranked number one? I mean, he said he had his top three. And he made the comment that he was willing to move for two of them. So that tells you it's Myles Garrett and that it's Mitch Trubisky. But, I mean, in a deep draft, he's given up a 3 and 4 and a 3 next year. To me, he's got Mitchell Trubisky far and away ranked higher than the other quarterbacks, and that's why he made the move.
I agree with Shane 100%. He sees his board how he sees it. I can't express this anymore. That's why I don't worry about that third round pick. Yeah, Chris Wormley is there. Godwin, I loved. These players I loved. But really, quarterback trumps them all, Aldo. I'm sorry. I know there was this narrative going around about how they felt about Mike Glennon and the 18, the vestment and all that. But are you comfortable with Mike Glennon? Because I wasn't. I feel great now that my team went up, secured their asset, showed some balls, despite, I mean, Matt Miller's leading your ship. You know, you remember the Titanic? If you are listening to those type of guys and narratives, then that's where you get lost. This is your GM right now. The same guy that drafted Leonard Floyd and Jordan Howard, he had conviction. I think Shane's 100% right. You attach what former coach, what was his name, Shane, from the Patriots. Then he went to the Browns. He coached the Jets.
Eric Mangini.
Thank you. From Connecticut.
From Hartford.
Yeah. The heartbeat, Jose's home spot. Shout out to Hartford. Listen, you listen to him, he's a former coach, obviously close to Bill Belichick, was applauding it because he recognized the conviction that this team had in a deep draft to secure their face of the franchise. And I think that, more so than anything, if you came away with one guy in this draft, and I'm selfish too, I want players, I want to see it, but I think it was so critical to get their guy here, and that was why Coach Fox wasn't in the loop, because they didn't want it to get out there who they were going to pick. They wanted to be quiet. That's why Adam Schefter said, please, please, please do not say anything to anybody, was from Ryan Pace to him, or his associate to Adam Schefter, because they wanted to play the Browns. Because let's face it, 72 hours before the draft, Cleveland was trying to decide Trubisky or Garrett. When they heard that the Bears might trade back with them, then that takes them off the scent. Like, oh, we're going to get our guy. San Fran's not going to take the quarterback. We're going to get him. They played it perfectly. So at the end of the day, if Peter King was sitting in the Bears room, he might have gotten that story. But I just think we all should be happy that since Jim McMahon, there's not been a first-round quarterback taken in the top five, top 10 of the draft. And finally, they got their guy, and he's a Polak, and Chicago fans should be proud of that.
They got the Whitey.
Hey, he's the new face of the franchise, and I'm happy to see this guy develop in front of us. If not, Aldo, then this GM will be gone, and we'll be on to the next story. But really, I believe this kid's going to work out. I really do.
And I don't know if you heard this or not, but Ryan Pace is racist. That's going on Twitter from a couple different people I've seen now. So just that's why he took the white quarterback, and you know, that's just keep
and
that
didn't,
in mind.
And didn't take Antonio Garcia either.
Yeah, no, he
fucker.
All right, let me offer
the fourth round to take those boys.
Let me offer a concluding thought on this topic, and then you know, winning organizations, they always give themselves a chance to find a stud quarterback. And Ryan Pace's mistake, and we've said it in almost every show that we've done, Ryan Pace has made a huge mistake by not addressing the quarterback position earlier. He didn't draft a quarterback in any round in his first draft. He didn't draft a quarterback in any round in the second draft. And now in his third draft, he acted out of desperation. He traded away assets that could build depth, could build a winning organization. Winning teams build through depth. They also build through a winning quarterback, but he gave up his shot to find an Andy Dalton in the second round, a Russell Wilson in the third round, by not drafting quarterbacks in his first two drafts. That's why I'm pissed off, because he comes into a draft that is loaded with depth, and what does he do? He makes a desperate move to move up one slot, one fucking slot, to draft a quarterback that you, Phil, you, Shane, you, Jose, and you, Lauren, didn't even have on your top three on your board. And I had him as a second round pick. That's why I'm pissed off, because I think he fucking blew this. And with that, we'll end part one of our draft review show. We're going to go two parts because we've got so much more to talk about. We'll talk about the rest of the draft in part two. I need to go check my blood pressure, send out apology cards, and pour myself another drink. Part two, coming at you Friday. In the meantime, do as I say, not as I do. If you drink, don't drive, operate heavy machinery, get into arguments with these guys, they'll make you look bad, and always bear down.
much are those microphones?
They're all different.
Yeah, depends on what you buy.
What about yours, Aldo?
Yeah, we gotta get everyone an Aldo mic. Sounds like he's fucking in the studio with Jay-Z.
I got a mixer too, so that helps. I got
the
radio effects. I can change this to a. Want me to talk like? Hold on a second. Watch this.
Can you put a little vocal effect on that?
Hell yeah, brother! Sing a song, Phil.
Sing us a song. You're the piano man.
Try
now you can record it and play it back. Oh, there's Shane. Shane Marceau.
This is like an acid trip. This is like when everything went in slow motion when they took Trubisky.
With the number 2 pick in the 27.
That's the distortion effect.
Sounds great. Yeah, it totally works.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's distorted.
Yeah.